Praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 8. We're doing a series called Freedom from Limits. We know that Jesus said something to his disciples. He said to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." And what will the truth do? The truth will make you free. "If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now there's power in continuing in the Word. We must develop the art of continuing in God's Word. You know, I've discovered this. Many people are good starters, but they're not very good continuers. And they're not very good finishers. If you're going to accomplish the will of God and walk with Him throughout your life, you must stay in the Word of God. I learned this a long time ago, back in the 1970s. You know my testimony. I came out of heroin addiction. I was in a hospital for many, many months. And one thing I learned very quickly, it is the Word of God that set me free. And it is the Word of God that has kept me free all these 50 years. And He is no respecter of persons. Whatever you may be facing, whatever challenge comes your way, I want you to know that His Word will set you free, and His Word will keep you free.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for His Word. Amen. One translation says, "You shall be unquestionably free." Another translation says, "And not just barely free either, but you will be abundantly free."
Amen.
Last week we looked at John chapter 17 and verse 14. He said, "I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." I like the Message translation says, "The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways." Amen. We do not have to join the world's ways. We do not have to be conformed to the way that the world is going. We are to love the world, but we're in this world, we're not of it. We are to be salt to the world, and we are to be light to the world. We are not to condemn people in the world. We are to love them with the love of God so that they can see the light that you have seen. And I think that's pretty good preaching right there. In John 17, 16, in the Message it says, "They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world." So I want to say to you this morning that God has called you to live an extraordinary life. So we should never, ever limit God in what He longs to do, what He desires to do in us and for us. And that takes mind renewal. We looked at Romans 12, verse 1. It says, "I beseech," or verse 2, "and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed," or be changed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Not by the removal of your mind, but by the renewing of your mind. Amen. I like what Phillips says. "Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold you from within." The Message says this: "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you will be changed from the inside out." And I made this statement at the close of last week's message, and it says this: "What we think about determines what we see. And what we see determines what we do. And what we do will determine what we get." And so when you and I get serious about mind renewal, renewing our mind, not once and for all, but as a process, this will remove impossibility thinking. And it will be replaced with possibility thinking.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that grieved the Lord was the children of Israel, after He had delivered them from Egypt, after that He had provided for them rain, quail down from heaven, manna down from heaven, after He had done all those things, they started to complain. They started to murmur about what they had back in Egypt. The Bible says they turned back.
Yeah.
We should not turn our back on God.
Amen.
We should never turn away from God. He is our answer. Now in Psalm 78, we notice in verse 41, notice with me, I want you to read it with me. Yea, ready, read. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. In the Passion Translation of that same verse, it says this, again and again they limited God, preventing Him from blessing them. Continually they turned back and they provoked the Holy One of Israel. So how did they grieve God? They grieved God because of a lack of faith. They grieved God because of a constant flow of complaining. Joyce Meyer says, if you complain, you will remain. But oh, thank God, if you praise, you will be raised. And so they had a rebellious spirit. And what they actually did is they created a ceiling or a limit on what they could receive. See, they turned back in unbelief. Verse 42 says this, they remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. How many of you can remember what God has done for you? It might be last year, it might be a decade ago, it may be several decades ago. But thank God, He delivered you from the hand of the enemy. And not only has He delivered you once, He's delivering you today. And not only will He deliver you today, He will deliver you tomorrow. I think we could get happy in the house if we could just shout about all that the Lord has done in our lives. You know, the Bible says, look what the Lord has done. He healed your body. He fed your babies. He put groceries in your cupboards. Amen. He quickened your body. He met your financial need. He delivered you from depression. I think we ought to give Him some praise up in here today. Glory to God. And so they tempted the Lord. They turned back. Their short memory hindered what He wanted to do for them. And I believe that we can learn a lesson from the children of Israel. I'm going to make a large statement to you. God wants to do some big things for you. Amen. Say that with me. God wants to do some big things for me. Now, if this is going to happen, you and I, all of us, must take the limits off of God. Amen. We serve an unlimited God. But an unlimited God can be limited by His own people. And there are some primary ways that we limit God. Primary ways. What are they? Well, there are three. Small thinking. But that can be changed. You can have an enlargement down here. You can have an open heart down here. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, but also expand your thinking, enabling you to see from God's perspective what He's got in plan for your life. So what do you say? Away with small thinking. A second way that we can limit God is by negative talking. You know, I joined a new club a while back, and the new club is no more negative talking. No more negative talking about the weather. No more negative talking about the aches and the pains and the snow on the road. No. We're in a new club. We're in a new family. Away with negative talk and speak faith-filled words which will enable you to live free from the law of sin and death. You can train yourself to speak the word only. Somebody says, well, I don't feel like speaking the word. I feel bad. But if you will speak the word as a way of life, sooner or later, you will feel better. But if all you talk about is how bad you feel, it just builds a greater mountain that stands in your way. The third thing is forgetting what He's already done. So what do you say here at Heart of the Bay? Let's not limit God. How do we do that? By trusting His promises. By acting on His word. by seeing him bigger than our situation. Amen. By removing all negative talk. And how about this? By being thankful. I said by being thankful. How many of you are grateful today? You got a heart full of gratitude. How else can we take the limits off of God? That is by not forgetting all that he has done. The psalmist said it like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Woo, glory to God. Who forgiveth half your iniquities. No, he doesn't forgive you half of your iniquities. He forgives you all of your iniquities. And he heals all thy diseases. Verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction. Glory to God. He redeems your life from being snuffed out. He redeems your life from accidents. But not only does he redeem your life, he redeems those in your realmdom, those in your influence. If you will pray fervently, no weapon formed against any of your loved ones shall ever prosper. Amen. He redeemeth my life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that your youth is renewed just like the eagles. I believe today that I'm looking at a congregation of eagles. And as eagles, it's time once again for us to soar. So how do we take the limits off of God? By having great hope. By having high expectation. We are not looking at the future for the lens of doom and agony and despair. We are not fearing the future. We are facing the future with a consciousness that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are facing the future with great hope, with a great confident and favorable expectation that things are going to be all right, that things are going to turn around. I'm not turning my back on God. I'm serving the God of the turnaround, and he's turning things around for me. He's turning things around for our nation. And if you believe it, you better just wake up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what do we do, Pastor? Here's one thing we do. We must have this kind of mindset. What kind of mindset? That there is nothing impossible. We need to have an attitude that there's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too difficult for him. That's the kind of God we serve. Over in the book of Jeremiah, in the 32nd chapter, in verse 17, in the Amplified Version, it says this. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you. Say that with me. There's nothing too hard. There is nothing too difficult. There is nothing too wonderful for you. Let me ask you a question this morning. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of your bills were paid? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of your aches and pains and chronic diseases were a thing of the past? Come on, somebody. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone in your family was lined up with the Word of God, serving God? Serving God, on fire for God, Bible toting, divine healing, tongue talking, world changers. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be just wonderful if our building was paid in full? Well, I don't know. That sounds like it'd be too wonderful. There's nothing too wonderful for him. There's nothing too difficult for him. There's nothing too hard for him. So take the limits off. And away with unbelief. Away with doubt. And let God be God and every man a liar. Glory to God. Nothing's too wonderful for him. And remind you, you're in him. He doesn't see you apart from Him. He sees you in Him. He sees you in Christ. So if there's new wonder, nothing too wonderful Him for Him, and you're in Him, there's nothing too wonderful for you. You got to believe that. Got to believe that. How many of you remember the story of the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler said, you know, I've kept all the commandments from my youth, and, you know, what must I do, you know, to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus basically said this, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then you'll enter in. Well, the rich young ruler did not go away glad. The Bible says he went away sad. Now, why did he go away sad? He went away sad because possessions had him. He didn't just have possessions. Possessions owned him. So he went away. Now, notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 24. His disciples were saying, whoa, what's going on here? In verse 24, and he said, again, I say unto you, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Read verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, and they said, who then can be saved? Wow. So they're asking a purely legitimate question, are they not? Who then can be saved? Well, Jesus answers it in the next verse. We see in verse 26, but Jesus beheld them. In other words, he looked at them. And I'm sure he was looking at them through eyes of love and eyes of compassion. And he said unto them, with men, this is impossible. With men, this is impossible. But notice the rest of the verse, but with God, all things are possible. I want you to pay particular attention to the word with God. You see, we need to make a quality decision who we're with. You got to decide who you're with. You see, your believing and your trusting and your confidence in Him determines who you are with. Now, God is with you, but are you with God? God is for you, but are you for God? Or are you only for the things that appeal to your flesh? We need to make the decision, I'm with God. Say it with me real strong today. Some of you need to get a little bit more active this morning. I know it's a little doom and gloom and outside, but if I woke up at 3:30 this morning, you can pay attention until I'm done. Amen. It was just about that time. Glory to God. Shout, for the Lord has given us the victory. Yeah. Say it with me. I'm with God. I have heard what He has said. And I'm with Him. See, the Lord's on our side.
Yes, He is.
But we need to make sure that we're on His side. And the way that we show Him that we are on His side is we become obedient to His word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
How many times in our lives have we heard, oh, that's just impossible. There's just no way. What impossible means, basically, is it certainly cannot be done. When you think of terms like impossibility, you think, well, there's just no way. It cannot be done. But I want you to notice another translation, and we're going to put it up on the screen here. It's from the Kenneth Weiss translation, and this is a pearl right here. I want you to read it with me. Ready, read. In the presence of men, as men look at this, it is impossible. Stop right there. In the presence of men. As a man looks at it, it's impossible. In other words, it can't be done. Oh, thank God the verse isn't over yet. Read it with me. But in the presence of God, as He looks at this, all things There's two different presences going on here. There's the presence of man, which is up here in the intellect. And there's the presence of God, which resides down here. If you live up here, you will say it can't be done. But if you will live in the very presence of God, you will say it can be done, it must be done, and it shall be done. Woo, glory to God. You see, being in His presence will change what you see. I'm going to say that again. Being in His presence will change what you see. God wants to do some great things in your family, in your body, in this church. But here's a big key for you this morning. A key to receiving is to see as He sees, and not only to see as He sees, but to see the way He sees it. Everyone say, seeing as He sees, and seeing the way He sees it. So what are we saying this morning? If we are going to have no limits in our life, it takes getting into His presence. To see what He sees. And to see how He sees it. Jesus addressed this over in Matthew chapter 13. Y'all still here? Matthew 13, 14, it says this. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by seeing you shall hear, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Why? Because they're connected up here. And seeing you shall see, but not perceive. Seeing up here. Living with sense knowledge. Living and motivated by your five physical senses will not provide for you the ability to perceive. Everyone say, perceive. So this describes here spiritual blindness and deafness. This describes not just a lack of information, but an inability to receive revelation. How many of you know that revelation knowledge is different than natural knowledge? Revelation knowledge is knowledge that is revealed to your spirit. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that comes into your heart. And glory to God, the entrance of His Word brings light. Woo, glory to God. I can see clearly now. The darkness is gone. I can see clearly now. The cobwebs are gone. I can see clearly now. The fog is gone. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now notice with me in verse 15. Read it with me if you would. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, unless at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be changed or converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, he said, but blessed are your eyes. Ooh, glory to God. My eyes are blessed. How about you? Your eyes blessed today? Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, whoo, glory to God, for they hear. So what are you saying to me, Pastor? I'm saying it takes the blessing of God on your eyes and on your ears to look and hear and see what others do not. What others do not. Amen. Ever run into another believer or maybe a relative? I just don't see that. I can't see what you're saying. Well, you're not to condemn them. You're not to knock them over the head with the Bible. Amen. How come you can't see it? They can't see it because they can't see it. They're living up here. They're not living down here. But how can we get them from up here to down here? Through prayer. Amen. And through the love of God and being patient with people Amen.
Yeah.
Not this lousy attitude. Well, where is your faith? You need to look in the mirror and ask yourself the same question. Where's your faith? I want to remind you that faith does not work by strife. Faith does not work by beating people up over the head with the Bible, but faith worketh by love. Say with me, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So I'm going to say this again. It takes the blessing of God on your eyes and on your ears to look, to hear, and to see what others do not. Anybody interested in that? In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, it says this. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. Who made the hearing ear? Who made the seeing eye?
Yeah, the Lord.
Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are to take heed what we are hearing.
Yeah.
We're not as Christians just to be hearing any old thing.
Yeah.
We as Christians are to hear what thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And you will discover his thoughts are a lot higher than yours.
Yes.
His ways are a lot higher than ours.
That's right.
But he has given us his word so that we can learn his ways and we can tap into his thoughts and see as he sees and hear as he hears and exactly how he sees it.
Amen.
The NLT of that same verse of Proverbs 20 and verse 12 says this, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So our ability to hear and to see spiritually is created and it is activated by God.
Yes.
And so I think this, that we need to pray for illumination.
Amen.
I pray for you just about every day for illumination.
Yeah.
I pray for my own life that I will have illumination, that I will have revelation. That those things in the Word of God would become more real to me every day. That's what Paul addressed to the church at Ephesus. And what belongs to the church at Ephesus belongs to the church in the Bay Area. First he said, I cease not to give thanks for them, making mention of them in my prayers. That the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Ooh, glory to God. The eyes of your... In other words, if you will pray this prayer long enough, the book, the Bible, will become a different book to you. The truths in the Word of God will jump off that page and it'll bypass your head and it'll get right down in your heart. Glory to God. I think some of you might need some head bypass surgery. Living out of the realm of reasoning and into the area of revelation. Reasoning doesn't receive, but revelation knowledge always receives. Amen. Glory to God. The spirit of wisdom and revelation just does not take you into hearing, but also into seeing. Listen to this statement. Revelation has to capture your imagination.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Revelation has got to capture the images, how you see, and what you're seeing.
Right.
Oh, glory to God.
Glory.
Revelation must capture your imagination so you can see what you need to see. Anybody need to see some things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Any candidates in this house for him to show you things to come?
Amen.
For him to give you a glimpse of your future?
Yes.
Maybe even to show you who your future mate might be? Brenda had great revelation when we met in 1976. She had revelation. He's mine. And you know what? I am hers. In a couple of years, we'll celebrate 50 years together. I'm glad, sweetheart, you didn't give up on me. I was a little slower in those days. Understand, I had just been off drugs a few months. I had some world to get rid of. But she saw something in me. She saw us going to the chapel and we're going to get married. And we did go to the chapel in Skeedy, Oklahoma. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying all of us, PT included, Pastor Brenda included, Kimberly, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Caleb, all of us in this house need continuous breakthroughs in revelation. All of us. None of us have arrived. You think about the Apostle Paul's life. Dad Hagen was quoted at saying, "I know so little." And I'm thinking, man, after all these years, he knows so little. I better get busy. You ever felt like that before? But what he encouraged everyone is to pray Ephesians 1 continuously. But he also encouraged them to read the Pauline epistles. And the Pauline epistles tell you who you are in Christ. The Pauline epistles rehearse to you who you are in Him. Amen. The Pauline epistles reveal to you where you are in Him. Now, the Apostle Paul's faith, listen to this, his faith was made real by his revelation of his identification in Christ. Amen. Strong faith must be rooted in the revelation of your identification.
Hallelujah.
Words paint pictures. And these words in the B-I-B-L-E, when you read them, when you confess them, when you continue in them, these words will paint a picture of you as more than a conqueror. It'll paint a picture of you of always triumphing. I heard recently, you know, in 2 Corinthians 2:14, where it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." I heard another translation, "Thanks be unto God who always causes us that we are processing to the point of triumph." Yeah. How many of you know sometimes there's a process before you get to the land of triumph? Now, I know legally we are triumphant in Him, but in the amen and here it is, there's some battles. Glory to God. So don't get under condemnation if you're under process. Don't quit if you're processing. Don't quit if you've had surgery. Don't quit if you've been in treatment. Don't quit. Stay with it. Stay strong. Stay rooted in your revelation of your identification, and you are sure to come out on the other side. Anybody ever been through some things? I could raise three hands if I had them. We all have been through some things. Some of you are going through some things right now. You're in process. Amen. Don't quit in the process.
That's right.
Stay strong. Stay rooted. Don't give up. One thing about the Thomas family, we are not quitters. We are not quitters. And you need to make that quality decision. I am not a quitter. I am a winner. And I am going all the way. So strong faith and freedom from limits is rooted in my revelation of my identification in Christ. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You were crucified with Christ. You died with Him. You were buried with Him. But oh, thank God, you were also raised with Him. You are quickened together with Him. Amen. So when you open the Word of God, here's my encouragement to you today. Say, Lord, bless my ears and bless my eyes. We need to recognize this, that revelation is not achieved, but revelation must be received. Amen. It's a gift. It is a gift, friends. When everyone around you can't see what you see, but that you have eyes to see. How many of you want the blessing of God upon your eyes? It comes by getting in to the presence of God. How many of you remember the series on Koinonia? We just finished that up not too long ago. In Koinonia, the main theme of Koinonia was abiding in Him and living in Him. And one of the main points of Koinonia was learning to turn from things that distract us, turning to Him. It's living in the secret place of the Most High. In that secret place of the Most High, you will gain a new perspective. You will gain a new attitude. You will enter in to a new season. So getting into the presence of God, because it's in the presence of God, as He looks at it, all things are possible. It can be done. So spend enough time with Him so He can change what you're seeing. Spend enough time with Him so that He can change the scenery in your life. Praise and prayer brings you in to the presence and has the power to change your perception. It has the power to change your perspective. And it gives you the ability to see things from His vantage point. Do you like it or do you like it? Amen.
Amen.
Seen from His perspective, from His viewpoint, from His vantage point. Say this with me. God's Word
shapes my perspective.
What His Word does, His Word gives you a lens beyond your circumstances. Psalm 109:105 says it this way, your word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. So God's word. Secondly, God's spirit gives you perspective. And thirdly, God's nature gives you and ensures perspective. Why is that? We sang about it earlier. Because He's good. Because He's faithful. Because He's all-knowing. Because He's unlimited. When we look through His eyes, we see the impossibilities shrink. So how do we make the shift? Colossians 3:2. Colossians, the third chapter, the second verse. Notice with me, it says, let's read it together. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now let's keep that verse up there just for a moment. Set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now that's easy to do. If you'll just train yourself to meditate in His Word. You know, Joshua was to take Moses' place. And Joshua had served Moses for a number of years. And the Lord spoke to Joshua many, many times. He said, be strong and very courageous. He said, be strong and of a good courage. And one of the things He told Joshua, and I believe this is appropriate for us today, as Pastor Tom comes and the singers come, one of the things that are so important for us to realize is what the Lord spoke to Joshua through the Lord. He said in Joshua 1:8, He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth,
but thou shalt meditate therein. How often? Just on Sunday morning? No, day and night. The word meditate there means to think about. The word meditate there means to ponder. So it says, the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, keep the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. Rotherham's translation says, you'll talk to yourself. But you will meditate in the word day and night. And if you do that, your trouble will increase. And if you do that, it won't make any difference. Some of you are sitting there kind of like, oh, yeah, I know, meditating the Word of God. Well, why aren't you doing it then? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Glory to God. And your bills will get, they'll just stack up more. Your body will hurt more. Your babies will rebel more. He didn't say that. He said that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Freedom from limits for you, for me, and the whole household of faith. Get anything out of this today? Glory to God. Thank you.